On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Man, it feels like a crawl. It felt like a drag, but we are finally back, Matt. We are finally back with Bulls basketball camp opening today. Very excited, and I know there's a ton of Bulls fans out there that are very, very excited. I honestly didn't think at this point we were ever going to get here. It felt like this year has dragged on forever without Bulls basketball. But Matt, how are you? How you doing today? And are you excited to finally get the season underway?
Jordan, what's up, my friend? What's up, Bulls Nation? I could not be more excited. I just woke up with just such a huge smile on my face this morning, realizing that we finally made it to the beginning of a fresh Bulls season after a 9-month layoff that felt more like 9 years, which, you know, fortunately we had an amazing 10-hour documentary and some organizational changes to help get us through that extremely long downtime. But I think the thing that made it sink in for me is that, you know, as soon as Zach LaVine's press conference went live on the Bulls Twitter account and YouTube and everywhere on social media, and I started to tune in and was just listening to Zach take questions and field questions from all these Bulls beat reporters, you know, that we've come to know and that you and I talked to and interview on this podcast, it just felt real all of a sudden. It was like, holy crap, it's actually here. It wasn't just pretend. We have a fresh Bulls season on our hands, and it's just so exciting, man.
I'm very excited too, and we'll get into some of the discussion. The two players that spoke today were Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine. Billy Donovan scheduled to speak later today, obviously recording this before he talks, so we'll get into that on tomorrow's episode. A couple other things that we want to touch on before we get to Markkanen and LaVine, though, Matt. Let's first start with that video that's been going around on Twitter the last 24 hours or so of Otto Porter Jr. I don't want to speculate or anything because I don't know when the video was taken. Not a great look. I don't have much more to say than that. It's just not a great look, man.
No, it's not. And I don't know what exactly the context is surrounding it. And so that's why I'm hesitant to speculate any further than just we saw a video of Otto hanging out at some party at some bar or club. It looks like maybe it's a Halloween party because there appear to be a bunch of people in costume. We don't know if it was from this year's Halloween, from last year's Halloween. You know, people are speculating wildly on Twitter. Like, if, for example, I saw one account called Basketball Rehab, not verified. So I think it's some person who mostly talks about Wizards basketball on Twitter. But they said the Bulls have placed Otto Porter Jr. on the trade block on a tweet yesterday afternoon saying, we're not sure if it's because of this video. But I mean, Otto Porter Jr. is already on the trade block. He's a guy on a massive expiring deal. Of course, it makes sense to speculate that the Bulls would be interested in training him at some point this season. So yes, it's not a great look in the age of COVID for a player to be going out and doing something like that. But again, we don't know exactly the context of that. So like, to me, it's just it would be irresponsible to say, oh, shame on you, Otto Porter Jr., before knowing the exact facts and context of that video.
The last thing I'll say on this, Matt, we got one other thing to touch on too, is if this video is from this year, man, Mark Eversley is going to kick his ass. Like he stuck his neck out for him in September when he talked about Otto and people said, like, what are you expecting out of him? And what did you see from the film from last year? And he said, you know, I think that part of the reason that contributed to his injury last year was that he came into camp out of shape and unmotivated. And then he followed that with like 90 seconds of really praising Otto and saying he's really looking forward to him having an excellent season this year. So again, if that video is from this year, man, Eversley is going to kick his ass, because I would be super frustrated if I went and stuck my neck out for him and then that got leaked and it's from this year, not last. But again, I have no idea. We have absolutely no idea when that video was made.
Right. I mean, if at some point during this upcoming season we hear, oh, Otto Porter Jr. has tested positive, and then, you know, he goes through a 12-day protocol and once again, for a different reason, makes himself unavailable to his team and his teammates, then we can sit here and scold him all day long. But until we get anything like that, I'm just going to take that video for what it is, which appears to be an NBA player having a good time. And he is certainly not the only one who likes to do that.
The Bulls have a trade exception too. Well, not the Bulls. The Celtics have a trade exception too that just opened up that conveniently lines up with what Otto is making right now. So that is something to keep your eyes on as well. That's stemming from the Gordon Hayward sign and trade. But quickly, Matt, before we get into Lowry and Zach's comments today, speaking of Zach, did we come across maybe a national show listening to Locked On Bulls here, man? Because I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast yesterday that he dropped with Kevin Arnovitz, and they were talking a lot about Chris Dunn and had mentioned the Bulls fan base as well. What did you take away from that as we kind of listened to his preview of what their season's going to look like and then had that little nugget about Chris Dunn?
I was talking about this with somebody yesterday because the Bulls' new front office took a little flack for not showing any interest in Chris Dunn and Shaq Harrison too, who's a player that, you know, made my Luke Walton All-Stars at least once and is another guy who's an absolute freak athlete. You know, Zach LaVine told me on my podcast, there's only one guy on this team who can compete with me athletically, running, jumping, all that. And you'll never guess who it was. And I already knew the answer because I had done some legwork on it. It's Shaq Harrison. I do think there's a sort of bias among diehards like us to fetishize the guys who are like, oh, like no one's watching Chris Dunn, but like 75 crazy Bulls fans and us. And like, oh, Shaq Harrison, like almost nobody saw this guy's like 650 minutes last year, but I did. And like, I spotted a couple things that are interesting. And my God, the Bulls just dropped the ball. I can't believe the Bulls don't watch Shaq Harrison and Chris Dunn. And it's like, you step back and you're like, you know, like it's really not that big a deal.
I honestly thought that he was listening directly to you on this podcast when you were talking about Chris Dunn a few episodes ago, and you were getting kind of worked up about how you were, it was frustrating for you to see the national, you know, NBA media all of a sudden, you know, when Chris Dunn signed with the Hawks, say, oh, look at this great, you know, pickup for Atlanta and a elite defensive player and this and that. And it feels like just, you know, Chris Dunn got no credit while he was here and nobody was paying attention. And I kind of pushed back on that a little bit, being like, well, yeah, because he was a one-way player playing on a god-awful team that got no nationally televised games. So, like, why is that surprising? But, yeah, I mean, Lowe's comments about how, like, insanely passionate Bulls fans are in this bubble of overvaluing their assets and freaking out when the team lets Chris Dunn go and lets Shaq Harrison go. I was listening to it yesterday. I was like, this is like the exact same brand that Jordan was just talking about.
And it included Shaq Harrison too, which is funny because, Matt, I think you and I are the only Bulls podcast or maybe Bulls fans that were talking about Shaq Harrison consistently. Like even this year, like up into a couple months ago, we were talking about Shaq Harrison at least on a semi-consistent basis. But I had to laugh. Like at first,
I was regularly talking about how he would be a more logical qualifying offer for the new front office to extend over Chris Dunn because they do a lot of similar things, and you would get one a tenth of the price.
Yes, and I thought it was kind of interesting that Zach Lowe had mentioned that Zach LaVine said the only other dude that can compete with him athletically, physically, is Shaq Harrison, which was kind of an interesting nugget. But yeah, like at first when I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, he's just it sounds like he likes Chris Dunn the same way that everybody else out there had liked the Chris Dunn signing with Atlanta. And then Gustavo tweeted at us again late last night that that little piece, because somebody else on NBA Twitter had tweeted out that specific clip and said Zach Lowe explaining NBA Twitter dialogue perfectly using the Bulls. I went and thought about it again, and I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, maybe he did hear our rant, at least that little portion of it about Chris Dunn. But yeah, man, like I was airlifted off of Dunn Island. I didn't realize Zach Lowe was on the opposite side of the island and we were sharing it together. So if Zach is listening to this, I am still a Chris Dunn, still a massive Chris Dunn fan and hope he does well with Atlanta. But yeah, that was definitely interesting, man.
And I think you guys weren't the only two. I believe our buddy Buzz from Bulls on Tap was also a person still hanging around Chris Dunn Island. And he saw that podcast too and had a comment about it yesterday. So, I mean, I get it to a point, but I think the overarching theme and what I agree with Zach Lowe on when he was making those comments is that like the most passionate people in a fan base, and obviously you and I can say the people who listen to our podcast regularly would qualify under that descriptor, tend to be a little bit, you know, not blind, but just like have certain angled blinders on when evaluating the pieces of their roster compared to how they are looked at by the wider NBA landscape of people who watch the league, who cover the league. And it can kind of cloud your vision a little bit sometimes when you're just like, you're a fan who's been stuck in either monotonously average or monotonously bad seasons, and you're trying to see value where value exists, where maybe it doesn't. And it's just a part of being a very passionate fan, man.
So I guess what I was asking was, is Zach Lowe, is making a Bobby Portis sad tribute video for when we traded him away from the Bulls, is that going too far? Is that too out of pocket for a die hard ride or die with your players type of thing? Because I was thinking about that. I was like, not just Bulls fans, but NBA Twitter in general, like each pocket of different fan bases have their extreme fans. And I was thinking about that too. Like sometimes there's players that I really love and see differently than a lot of other fans do too. And it can, and we talk about that a lot with trade scenarios too, Matt, trade machines and all of that is, you know, the value there can be clouded by you watching them on a regular basis compared to 29 other teams around the NBA you might only catch half a dozen times throughout the year. And I think that happens to the best of us too. I will admit it freely that it happens to me quite often. Like sometimes you get clouded by guys and your opinions on guys. And in the reality is like, maybe I'm not watching the 29 other teams on a regular basis, but there's fan bases out there that feel the same way about players on their team too. So I think it happens to all NBA fans, especially if you're super passionate about a certain player. I'm not overly passionate about Chris Dunn. I just hope he has a massive year with Atlanta.
Here's a question. Do you think Dunn gets a tribute video when the Hawks come to the UC for the first time this season?
If he does, let's just say I will have backup plans for
what,
the
what
Bulls.
What will the highlights be? Falling on his face and breaking a tooth.
Chill.
Getting a technical for jawing at Trae Young.
Chill.
What else? Breaking threes.
How about the step back game winner against the Jazz?
Oh, who could forget that?
Where then he went up to half court after the Jazz called a timeout and he said, "Fuck with me." That was probably Chris Dunn's highlight. That or him dropping 26, 13, and 6 against, was it the Pacers back in that January
Pacers,
game?
Yeah.
So he's had quite a few, but yeah, kind of a disappointment. I shouldn't even say disappointment because it wasn't really Dunn's fault, but I heard them talking about him playing as a wing, which is fascinating. But again, this isn't an Atlanta Hawks podcast or a Chris Dunn podcast. So that was my conclusion, is that you never know who might be listening. And we appreciate everybody listening to this podcast out there. Matt, let's talk a little bit about Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine and what they had to say at Media Day today. But before we do that, I want to tell you guys quickly about our friends at Built Go. Been telling you about Built Bar and Built Go for a very, very long time now. They've been fantastic to us throughout the entire 2020. Talking about Built Go today, they're easy to take 1.5-ounce packages. It's like a 5-hour energy without the same feeling of crashing. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so you get it into your system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Collagen protein promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. So go to BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. So, Matt, every NBA team had to allow for media day today, 2 starters plus your head coach. Tomorrow is 2 rotation players plus the head coach or a staff member again. And then the final day, I believe, is open up to 2 players, either as reserves or on the bench. So I'm expecting we're going to probably hear from a couple of other guys, maybe more important guys tomorrow and the next day than some of these fringe guys that might not be around here for the rest of the year. That being said, who do you want to start with, Markkanen or Levine? Who did you think was more intriguing today?
Let's start with Lowry, because I think the favorite part, and I had a lot of favorite parts, but my favorite part of what we heard from either of these guys at their first press conference in what feels like forever is that Lowry was asked in a lot of different ways by a bunch of different members of the media about the awful season he's coming off of, the regression, feeling like he was misplaced in the offense, misused in the offense. And there were plenty of leading questions from the media that were probably in some way trying to get Lowry to at least partially blame former coach Jim Boylan for the bad year he had. And he had plenty of opportunities to do that. And he constantly just repeated basically the same phrase of control what I can control, and also putting the bad season he just had on himself, which I like to hear, because there were also questions he fielded about his contract situation and him saying, you know, I want to stay here. I'm putting some pressure on my agent to get this done. He's not sure if it, he just owned it. He owned the fact that he had an awful, awful year. And here's a quote: I'm the guy who always looks in the mirror first before complaining. So I've been trying to look at what went wrong and trying to stay even more active on the floor and just being involved and move a lot without the ball to make myself available and that way kind of work my way through it. And he said, I can't control what we do on the coaching side of things and what kind of plays we were running. I'm just looking at myself, and I think I wasn't as active as I should have been. So I'm looking at that. I loved that from Lowry, because as much as I have been labeled like a Lowry defender for no reason other than like I like the guy, no, I believe in him, but I've also been willing to repeatedly on this podcast say it's not all Jim Boylan's fault, and some of it is on Lowry. So I was very happy to hear him take ownership of the bad season he just had.
I agree. Accountability is a big thing, man. And like, that is something that I think this Bulls team needed. And hearing it from the young guys is really, really good, man. Like, if there's not that, you don't have that built-in blame anymore, right? And I don't think Lowry's the type of guy that would use excuses to get him through something. He just doesn't seem like the type of dude or the type of player. But for anybody on this Bulls team or in this organization, for that fact, you don't have the built-in excuse anymore of the front office isn't doing the way things that they promised, or, you know, we still got Jim Boylan as our head coach. There's not those excuses anymore. So I do like to hear him take some accountability for that. And I think it's only going to have him help him have an absolutely massive year. And the thing that I thought was most interesting from his comments was him talking about potentially pushing for an extension before that deadline coming up on December 21st. Matt, what did you take away from that? And are you now having a different mindset on what a possible extension would look like for Lowry if something does get done in the next couple of weeks?
Well, first of all, I would be very surprised to see something done in the next couple of weeks. I just think that the front office knows it's in their best interest to see what Lowry looks like this season and evaluate him now, or evaluate him through the season and then try to come to terms on a extension. I mean, theoretically, they have until, you know, another 3 weeks-ish, the 21st, to get that extension done. I don't think it's going to happen before then. I mean, the good news is that Markkanen's agent has a pretty solid pre-existing relationship with Arturas Karnišovas, Lowry's agent, Michael Lelchitsky. So, like, you know, they're going to be cordial negotiations. But at this point, you know, when asked about some other people in his draft class that got those big extensions, Lowry said, like, yeah, I saw. But I think Lowry's also aware that he is not a rookie max extension player right now. It's closer to, you know, what we talked about with the Washington deal that they got that they gave to Davis Bertans, who is like basically what Lowry is right now, who is a stretch four and not a star, who got 4 years, 80. So I'm sure that Lowry and his representation are looking for something more than that, but he's got to prove it first.
You know what's making me think even more too, like about you saying that maybe it's not all about the money, and I think that is definitely true for Lowry. I think, like, if you think about his career path right now, say he signs a 3 years extension with the Bulls. What does that put him at? 26 years old by the time he's a free agent, because he's what, 23 now? I wonder if he had multiple conversations with Zach LaVine this offseason about that and said, hey, like, you kind of went on this similar path that I'm on. Obviously, you had the injury, which contributed to some stuff, but like, you were told here, like, go out and test the free agent market and come back, and maybe you didn't sign for what you thought you were going to. But now, like, I think LaVine, if he has another good year this year, he's played himself into a max extension or damn near close to it. Not with the Bulls. Like, I think he's going to get a contract somewhere else. Somebody else will pay him that max deal. But he's played himself into that over 3 years, and I wonder if that has convinced Lowry at all to think about that. Is like, hey man, maybe take a little less money now in these next 3 years, work on yourself, and if you bet on yourself and you like staying here in this city, gives your family a chance to grow here in Chicago, gives you a chance to grow as a player and as a person, and who's to say when you're 26 and hopefully that's, at least you're in your prime or starting your prime, then you go get your massive payday. But to me, I think the bigger theme is, like, I don't think money is his number one priority right now. And that, I think, can benefit the Bulls long term. And I think it benefits Lowry, too. Like you were saying, though, I think unless they've been having these discussions over the last several months, I don't know if we're going to get an extension before the season starts.
It just doesn't seem likely, because it doesn't seem practical right now. Because I'm sure whatever extension the front office would feel comfortable giving to Lowry right now, coming off of the year he just had and some injury concerns as well, is an offer that Lowry and his representation would clearly see as something that was too low. I just think that there's way too big of, there would be way too big of a bridge or way too big of a gap to bridge, I should say, between these two sides. So I hope that whatever path we go down with Lowry and these contract, you know, negotiations, that it gets done the proper way and that everybody walks away happy regardless of what happens. But to see an extension between now and the season tipping off the 22nd, I just don't see it.
Does that make you question at all more about what's up with what's up with Carter? Like, what they think about Carter long term? Like, hearing the negotiation rumors and Lowry kind of talk about it, thinking about back maybe a few weeks ago when we were hearing all these Carter rumors around the NBA draft, does that make you think, like, one way or the other, any more on Carter Jr., about what maybe the front office thinks about him long term and what maybe his trade value is? Because if they're talking about extensions, man, again, I'm in the full camp and full belief that him and Markkanen are not the long-term solution in the front court, at least to a championship-caliber team. It's just, I don't see it working out for the benefit of both of those guys. So I'm wondering, again, if that circles back to maybe AK was really checking in on all of these teams, and Mark Eversley was checking in on all of these teams to see what the value was for Carter, even if they weren't going to make a deal in November, but it sets you up for the first week in March, right around the trade deadline. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
We don't know too much. So, any speculation we might do is just based on tiny little bits and pieces of things we've heard. Like, we did hear that, according to a couple of sources close to the team, the front office values Lowry a little bit higher than they value Wendell, at least right now. And not to say that Lowry's untradeable and untouchable, but as of right now and coming into the draft, Lowry ranked higher than Wendell in their what pieces do we value upon coming in here and evaluating what we have. So if you want to believe that report, believe that report. But I don't think it necessarily means that they see Wendell as a less enticing piece as far as figuring out an extension for a rookie who's worth keeping around. Again, I do think that a lot of this will eventually lead to we haven't seen too much of them on the court together. That's the other thing. Lowry and Wendell have been teammates for two seasons, but because of injuries to both of them, our sample size of them playing on the court together is still ridiculously small, all things considered. So you're going to, I assume, see plenty of them on the court together to start this season so that they can evaluate whether or not they think that works. Because they also just drafted a front court player in Patrick Williams, who is their first pick on like our own terms of rebuilding this team as opposed to what they inherited. So as far as Wendell, the other thing that you have to think about is he could have and is perhaps even more likely than Lowry to have a breakout year when you think about what Billy Donovan has been able to do with versatile, smart, high IQ bigs, both at the collegiate and the NBA level. And the fact that Wendell, when he came into the league, was actually like a guy who showed signs of promise being a facilitator and a playmaking big who is a gifted passer for a guy at his size and playing his positions and you know, running some stuff through him through the high post. Some of the stuff that Billy Donovan did with Steven Adams and OKC, and maybe all of a sudden Wendell becomes a higher priority because he is a piece that works with Donovan. And not to say that Lowry can, and Donovan's done some great things with stretch fours in his career too, but like, I wouldn't be so quick to overlook Wendell.
No, I agree. And I think leaving all your options open is the best bet. Even if you still haven't decided come trade deadline time. And I think that's even goes to if Lowry signs an extension in the next few weeks here. If he does that, I think it pushes my opinion. And again, like you said, this is all speculation, me just kind of adding up different pieces and different chips of news that we're getting. I still think it leaves the window open for AK and Mark Eversley to say, hey, if we don't find the right deal, we don't need to panic and push the panic button at the trade deadline and move Carter or move Levine just for the sake of moving those guys. I think you leave your options open even if it takes to next summer. And there's teams out there wanting to be a big fish in the 2021 free agency pot. I think it leaves a bunch of those options open. So again, I'm with you. And I think you're right. We need to see Carter and Markkanen play the majority of this season together in high quality minutes to see if those two guys can work long term. Now to Zach LaVine. He addressed some of the trade rumors, what he's expecting from this season. What were the highlights that you took away from LaVine?
It's a little petty. But if you're asking me what my biggest takeaway and my favorite part of Zach LaVine's comments were, it was his answer when asked about how things are a little bit different and how there's a different vibe coming into training camp and doing some of the, you know, their off-season mini camp, you know, stuff that they did towards the tail end of the summer, just because of the organizational changes. And he said, quote, "It's just a different energy. I see them every day. We have conversations, not just basketball opinions. They're willing to change and hear people's opinions, and that's something different than it was in the past," end quote. That's clearly shade directed at Jim Boylan and everybody else who got the boot at the Bulls' truncated end of the 1920 season. And the thing that I love about it is that this is a quote that the Bulls official Twitter account shared with a picture of Zach. They shared this quote that is clearly Zach giving the former front office and coaching staff mad shade. Yes, it is a positive thing he's saying about the new people, but it's clearly, as he said, different than the past. Here is a good thing that's different than the past, aka the past was not good. It was bad. I love that. I love that Zach said it. And I'm also almost as excited that Zach said it that the Bulls shared this quote. Because one of the biggest gripes that I've had with this organization and how they handle themselves in the new age of social media is that they treat their fans like we're fucking stupid and that everything is sunshine and rainbows and they want every fan to be as optimistic as our pal Fred. And by optimistic, I mean delusional and fucking blind. And they have never, ever, ever before been willing to show even the slightest bit of self-effacing criticism or being willing and able to laugh occasionally at themselves. And it's just like you're tweeting out like a Felicio highlight in February when your team's 20 games under 500. And we're all sitting here saying, are you fucking kidding me? This is a joke.
A Felicio highlight.
So, I mean, like, honestly, to me, that was my favorite part. Was Zach saying that about the difference between this past year and the vibe that we have now and the fact that the Bulls social media managing team gave a green light to share that quote from the face of their franchise to say, yeah, stuff was bad and now it's better.
You can just see the vibe.
It's a good point that you bring up, man. Like, and I think that that shift is clear. And I don't know if it took... I don't know if it took the Bulls having to realize that over several years and people just starting to not show up to games and realizing, hey, this social media pushback that we're getting, yeah, it's not just all just a bunch of troll accounts, but that's what you're going to get now. Like, it's the troll treatment. If you don't respect the fans' intellect and passion for the team and, you know, try to play it off like you can cover things up or kind of be very vague with the fan base, that doesn't play anymore in 2020 with social media and the access that everybody has. Even the casual NBA fan on Twitter has a ton of access to information. So I think you're right on. I think you're spot on that. And I think the Bulls realize that too as an organization. I think AK and Mark Eversley realize that. See, the funny thing that you brought up there is that you said that they can laugh at stuff. Like, I'm thinking back even a couple of weeks ago when AK was on the sports radio here in Chicago, and he laughed at a joke that Mike Mulligan gave him. He's like, he was laughing about the second round pick and Bulls fans going crazy saying that they thought they drafted a 36-year-old or 34-year-old. And he's like, yeah, and he started laughing. He's like, yeah, that was hilarious. He's like, that's so funny. Like, things like that we need. We need more of that. And that's just one little bit, and hopefully that continues to be things that we get from our front office. Openness, honesty, and... you have to laugh at yourself when something goes wrong or something happens, and just have to realize that your fan base is smarter than you think that they are. But I agree with that, man. And that kind of brings us to the trade rumors that Zach LaVine was asked about. And I thought this quote was really good.
What did you think about his comments with the trade stuff?
I thought that him saying, if something happens, it happens. I understand. I got traded here from Minnesota and I understand it. So it's things that happen. But while you're on this team, you have to be all in. I've been all in since the first day I've been here. I really like Chicago. But, you know, if something were to happen, obviously I'm not a resentful person. I understand the business of basketball and I keep moving forward. Man, this is exactly the type of tone that I was telling you that I think if Zach does get traded, there's a mutual respect between the new front office and Zach LaVine. Because I think if Zach LaVine gets dealt, he's getting dealt to a place that he can go and contend and actually be a legit winner, actually make the playoffs for once. Like, I think all of those are in line for what Zach LaVine wants next in his career. The man's already gotten paid, and he's getting paid outside of his basketball contract too. So I think the next motivation for him is winning, and he's right, man. He's been committed to Chicago through and through, 100%. All the knocks you want to have on every player that you've wanted to despise as a Bulls fan over the last 4 or 5 years, Zach is not that guy, and every doubt that people have had in Zach, I think, has been washed away and should be washed away. The dude worked his ass off after everybody said, oh, they don't think he's going to be able to develop season after season in the off seasons, posting all those videos that hit home in Seattle to the, oh, I don't think Zach's worth the money, to Zach can't score 20 points per game, he's not going to be the same type of player, completely erased all of these thoughts about Zach LaVine. And I think it's very, very cool, and his commitment to this Bulls team, his commitment to the fan base, and his openness, I think he's bought him a lot of brownie points with a lot of Bulls fans. But you still got Bulls fans that don't watch this team too often that don't like Zach LaVine. So I don't know, man. I hope if he does get dealt, it's on a mutual respect level for both the team and him.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, anyone left out there still saying Zach LaVine, empty points, you know, hollow, bad player, just automatic mute button. Like, shut up. And appreciate everything that this guy's done for this organization. And again, the reason that there's speculation about Zach and his future and possible trades and things we heard leading up to draft night. The Brooklyn Nets are interested. The Knicks are interested. The Dallas Mavericks are interested and all this stuff. It's because he is a good player on a value contract. And I think that Zach is clearly a bright enough guy to know that. So while it might, I'm sure it might not be easy to hear your name swirled around it in trade rumors all the time, whether it's Zach LaVine or any other player in this league, it happens. But he knows, as he said, it's a business. I understand the business side of this, but for a guy who has been very willing to say, yeah, I don't get a lot of credit. I didn't quite cut it with the All-Star votes, but it's because it's about winning and I haven't won anything. And I just saw it in some column today. I can't remember if it was Darnell or Casey, but do you know that Zach LaVine has not been on a team that has gotten 30 wins in his career? Not just hasn't been to the playoffs. He has not been on a team that has eclipsed 30 wins.
Wow. No, I did not know that.
And so many NBA people look at that and say, bad player. Like, that's Zach's fault that he hasn't been on a team that can eclipse 30 wins. And I would just very strongly disagree with that. So, yes, the trade speculation is there because he's a good player and other people around the league, despite the Bulls have no nationally televised games, despite the Bulls not being a quality team overall, could look at Zach LaVine's performance last season and say, now that is star caliber talent. You know, you could talk about the holes in the other elements of his game, but that guy can score at will. He is a walking bucket. And those players are valued around the league. So yeah, that trade talk's going to happen.
I respect Zach and I think he's getting to the next level by wanting to win. And maybe that's what unlocks that final level to LaVine's game is getting to the playoffs, finally winning. Maybe then he gets his damn respect, right? Hit us up with your thoughts, 331-979-1369. You can tweet at us at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll hear a little bit from Billy Donovan. Matt and I will get into some other Bulls news and notes, kind of set up what the next few weeks are going to look like as far as training camp, preseason, and then heading into the actual start of the season, which is at the end of this month. So give us your reaction on social media or our text and voicemail line. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
I will gladly pay you a hamburger for a Larry Markkanen today.
He's got some swag. I mean, I'm lost for words. I really am. Big time onions!
1983. That was a terrific draft that helped the Bulls end up winning a Super Bowl.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com